Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hashing Out the Law. It's been a while, but welcome back. Today, my guest is Travis Hecklin. I've been practicing his last name for a while. How are you doing, Travis?
I'm good, Arash. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Travis, you are Rise Up Media, correct?
Correct. We are. I'm the CEO of Rise Up Media.
So tell us a little bit about Rise Up Media.
So we do marketing, online marketing exclusively for lawyers. We work with about 400 law firms all across the U.S. I've been in this business for over 15 years. We hung up our own shingle about 5 years ago. It's been one of the best decisions we ever made. And it's a lot of fun to kind of roll up our sleeves and help law firms market. I tell people we do five things. We build custom websites. Once those websites are live, we do SEO work to make them show up on the first page of Google. We help with social media. We run local service ads, LSAs, Google local service ads, and we manage pay-per-click or PPC campaigns for lawyers.
Now, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because advertising is really big and lawyers have specific companies that advertise for them. But one of the issues that comes up, especially in the practice of law, is ethical advertising for lawyers. Could you tell us how advertising for lawyers differs than advertising for a car company?
Well, I mean, when it comes to content, we certainly want to make sure that it's accurate and we're giving the right advice, right? So our writers are all either lawyers or ex-lawyers, so we're certainly making sure that the content that goes out is accurate. And obviously, we know which terms that you can't say you're experts, you can't say, you know, all those types of things. So we make sure that we're on par with that, where you don't have to worry about that with other types of businesses, obviously.
Now, what made you decide to advertise just for lawyers?
Well, it was actually 15 years ago. I got a job as a sales rep with one of the big box store lawyer marketing companies out there, and just kind of fell into it. It was a friend that worked there and got me a job there. And I guess I woke up 10 years later and I was like, owning my own marketing company. And it was really good. My dad's a doctor. He always told me, which a lot of my clients say the same thing. You know, when he was going through medical school, he never had to take any marketing classes or business classes. And same thing a lot of times with our clients, which are lawyers. So what that means is to us is that they need help, right? And so they're looking for someone to guide them. And most of our clients are solo practitioners, up to about 5 or 10 lawyers, maybe at the biggest. We have a few big firms, and we certainly would work with them, but that tends to be our wheelhouse and our sweet spot. And they want to do what they do best and practice law and find a trusted partner that they can typically hand over the reins to their marketing and make sure their phone's ringing and cases are coming in the door. So yeah, that's how it started. And we always had a dream. My business partner and I always had a dream of owning our own company, and we finally had enough courage to make the leap.
That's cool. I actually love marketing myself. If I wasn't a lawyer, I think I would go into marketing. It's a fascinating world for me. That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on to talk about it and pick your brain. What made you go into marketing? I know that you got a job with one of the bigger firms, but did you always want to be in marketing?
No, I can't say that I did. I wish I could tell you that there's this, you know, I actually wanted to play baseball for a living and thought, you know, like every other kid, I played baseball through college and never saw my life going in any other direction, and got into sales early on, owned a mortgage company at one point. And then when 2008 hit, 2007, 2008, like a majority of people in the mortgage industry had to figure out what they wanted to be where they grew up. And I just stumbled upon this, and I really love it. I mean, to be completely frank with you, there's no better feeling as a business owner myself. I make the joke, and I'm kind of not joking. A lot of times it feels like I know how to market for a law firm better than I do my own business. You know, like it's and there's no better feeling than You know, we have folks that are experienced, you know, been a lawyer for a long, long time, and we're able to enhance what they're doing. Or we even have folks that just come out of college or just came over from the DA's office or whatever and hung a shingle, and we're there to help them scale their business. And there's not a better text message or email you can get than, you know, one of our clients emailing us saying, "Hey, listen, I was completely skeptical when I signed up with you guys. I just didn't know how this marketing thing worked, but I just had my best month ever. You know, we just signed up X amount of clients, and thank you so much." Like, there's not a better feeling. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about that. Like, you know, as business owners, we're always probably like the reason why a lot of your viewers are watching these podcasts, right? Trying to pick up little nuggets on how to make their business more successful, or, you know, what have you. And we're able to help folks do that. That's why we do. That's why we wake up in the morning. That's what gets us out of bed every morning, for sure.
Now, being a marketing company helping lawyers, you're sort of like outside looking in. So, and the reason I say that is, so I'm a lawyer and I want to market for my company, but I'm in my company. I'm looking out, but you're able to look from the outside in. So you have a different view. In your opinion, what is the biggest challenge for attorneys who want to advertise that they don't know about? What is their biggest challenge that they don't realize exists?
I think a couple different things. First one is undercapitalization, right? There's a lot of marketing agencies out there that will take your money. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but they sell a product, and, you know, depending on the market, if you're doing car accident, if you're a PI or a car accident lawyer in Los Angeles, the amount of money you need to spend to be successful is so much different than if you do wills and trusts and, I don't know, Topeka, Kansas, you know, something like that. And so I don't think a lot of folks have thought that through. And have somebody there to tell them the truth of what needs to happen and how to be successful. And then the second thing is what I really, that people, a big aha moment for attorneys is realizing how poorly they answer the phone. I would say the number one issue, any of my clients would tell you that we've had this conversation, is making sure, because we track all their phone calls, record all the phone calls, so they can go listen to either how they're answering the phone or how their paralegal or secretaries are answering the phone, or lack thereof. And it's a big eye-opening experience more times than not, when they realize that they're missing. Probably the average firm only answers their phone about 65-70% of the time. So there's 30-35% of calls that they've paid for that don't get answered or go straight to voicemail or things of that nature. And the general public, and to say today's society, just don't leave messages, right? When you're a stranger, when you've never had to hire a lawyer, and whether it's, you know, you got a DUI or you got in a car accident, or you're getting divorced or what have you, you are on the internet and you're calling complete strangers, right? And they don't understand how, a lot of times, how lawyers bill. And so they think it's like a taxi meter, right? As soon as you say hello, the meter starts. And so they're not going to tell their story four or five times on an answering machine or voicemail. They're going to hang up, hit the back button, and call the next firm on the list. So it's super important to make sure you have that covered.
Okay, that's an interesting view. Now, what is something that you want lawyers to know? What is the every lawyer in every practice in every state that you want them to know that would make it easier for them and for you to help them?
I think if I'm a lawyer, I'm definitely hiring an agency. Take us out of it. I'm definitely hiring an agency, a marketing agency that only focuses on the law. It's too, you can't be everything to everybody. And so having an agency that knows how you get paid or how, for example, a lot of lawyers haven't thought through, let's say they get paid on contingency, right? And they haven't thought through, like I tell PI attorneys, I said, listen, even if you showed up on this phone call when we're doing our needs analysis call in the beginning, I say, even if I showed up on this call with 5 car accident cases over my shoulder and handed them to you, you're not seeing money on those for probably 6 to 12 months, best case scenario, right? And so does the agency understand that? and it put you in the right vehicle. Because listen, when you build out a website, it takes time. If anybody tells you something different, first of all, it takes time to build it. But even if I could snap my fingers and have the best criminal defense law firm, you know, law firm site up there in LA right now, it still takes time for Google to make it show up in the search engines, right? Serve you up in the search engines. So is that law firm or lawyer, do they need cash flow now, right? I tell people there's three types of folks that come to us. Either folks that come to us and go, hey, listen, if I hand you a buck, I need to see $5 come back next month or sooner. So you're not going to put them in a longer term strategy, which would be building out a website and doing SEO, which is a great strategy. Don't get me wrong, but it takes time. So they need to be in some type of strategy that's going to give them instant gratification, right? And more times than not, when you're in life, when you want instant gratification, you're going to have to pay a little bit more for that, right? And so that's where pay-per-click ads or local service ads or Facebook ads or something like that, that will give them instant gratification is the right strategy for them. So have they really thought that through, right? And is somebody able to guide them through that process and be able to tell them, listen, that is not the right strategy for you. If you're telling me you need money right now or you know, the next 30 days, then we need to put you in a strategy that's going to yield phone calls here very, very quickly.
I see. So in your years of experience, have you seen the market shift? And if you have, how have you seen it shift?
Well, the answer is yes. What is Google is constantly changing. About 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, as we're talking now, Google came out with local service ads. That's like if you type in criminal defense attorney Los Angeles, you'll see a couple faces at the top. Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's two. They keep testing out different things, but that's Google's new pay-per-call program, right? And they put that to the top of the search results, which pushed everything else down. So that's obviously going to affect everything else out there. So yes, there's certainly that. I think, and to plug that product for Google, I suppose, that's one of the best products I've seen in a long, long time, where you only pay when the phone rings and you're able to dispute calls that aren't the right practice area or the right geography in a couple other different things, sales calls and bots and current clients call that number. You can dispute it and get your money back. So it's a pretty risk averse product out there that firms should definitely, if they're looking to bring in more business, they certainly should at least have a line in the water with that for sure.
Now I got a question I want to ask. Now we know Google is the major search engine and everybody advertises on Google and the different products, one you just mentioned. What about all these other ones like Bing and, you know, DuckDuckGo? Do you believe those are worth the same amount of time spent on as the other ones?
I there's a couple of different thoughts on that, but the majority of the traffic is going through Google. So that's the biggest pond where the most fish are. So if you're going to start your strategy, that's certainly where to start. Right. Anything you do from an optimization standpoint, like your website, if you're hiring an agency to optimize your website on Google, all the things that go into doing that correlate with all the other search engines. So you're covering all bases when you're doing that. Really where that question depends is when you're doing ads, paid ads and things of that nature. But I definitely think you need to crawl before you run. And if you're just starting out in marketing, like keep things simple and start with Google, in my opinion.
Now, what is your favorite war story that you have when it comes to marketing? It doesn't have to be with a lawyer, but in general.
I think a little bit like we just talked about, like where you know, I had a criminal defense attorney in Southern California here that came to me and said, hey, Travis, and I have a bunch of stories like this. There's not just one, but this is one that comes top of mind. He goes, listen, I have $3,500. My website's a mess. But I need business in the door right away. I need to make sure where this thing is making me some money. So we took $2,500 of his budget and put it toward local service ads. We took $1,000 and put it toward his SEO of his website. And we told him, hey, listen, the website, we're just going to build the foundation. This is not going to move the needle in a significant way, but we do need to clean up this website so it converts more of your referrals that are coming to you. But how we're going to make your money is with local service ads out of the gate. So he got 17 phone calls. He charges like $3,500 for a DUI and signed up 7 cases. So out of that $3,500 spend, he made $24,500 in his first month and was absolutely ecstatic. Rightfully so. Heck, if you can turn $3,500 of my money into $24,000 in the next 30 days, I would be pretty darn happy as well. And it was just really, really cool. Kind of like back to that point is like, you know, that is why we wake up in the morning. Everything we do is month to month. So we kind of put our money where our mouth is. You know, any of our clients can fly away at any point if they're not happy with our services. So it holds our feet to the fire. And, you know, stories like that are amazing as far as kind of a war story, if you will.
And let's switch gears a little bit, Travis. What's your favorite baseball team?
I'm an Angel fan. I'm unfortunately an Angel fan. They just can't get it together. I like the Dodgers too, of course. My dad was a stadium doctor there for many, many years. So we certainly saw our fair share of Dodger games, but I'm an Angel fan at heart.
So your dad was a stadium doctor and you were there a lot, and I'm sure you got backstage access, for lack of better terms, but yep. You're an Angels fan. How did that happen?
I grew up in Norco, California. I live in Orange County now. So it's just kind of, you know, and I guess I'm glutton for punishment.
But if you grew up in Northern California, you're not a Giant?
Southern California. I grew up in Norco.
Norco. I thought you said Northern California.
Okay. No, I grew up here in Southern California. I still live in Orange County. So, yeah.
I was going to say, if you're from Northern California and you're an Angels fan, that's just weird.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
That's cool. The Angels have always been interesting to me, but I can't root for someone that doesn't have Los Angeles in their name, even though they do now.
Yeah, they stuffed it in there. Yeah.
Yes. But so if you could go back to baseball, obviously I know you want to play, but if you could go back to baseball in a marketing role, would you do that?
Gosh, yeah, I wouldn't know the first thing to do with that, but man, yeah, if I could blend both worlds, that would be amazing. I don't know the path there, but yeah, that would be fantastic.
I want to blend my world into basketball. I want to be like a lawyer for like a basketball team or something like that, or I'll even do it for the Angels or baseball team or something.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, sports.
Are you a Laker fan or what?
Oh yeah, I'm a big Laker fan.
I am too. If I could turn my camera, you'd see my Shaq jersey hanging up right here.
Nice.
A big loss last night. I thought they were going to pull it off.
Yeah. I don't know what to think of them right now. They're underachievers for sure.
Oh goodness, yeah. Hopefully we hang on to LeBron for a couple more years, and I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, we can hang on to them, but he needs other people, and if we mm-hmm. keep him, can we afford other people? See,
you're right. Right.
Yeah, that's the problem.
He needs to do the Tom Brady approach and take a little pay cut and bring in some help, I think.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. So since we're talking about sports and Lakers, you know, Jacob Imrani is the Lakers lawyer. He became the Lakers lawyer. Do you think that's a strategy that works? Yes, I know it's prestigious and people think, oh, this guy is the official lawyer of the Lakers. But in the long run, does that strategy work for marketing?
I believe it does. Like where I don't see it. Like I just was driving back from Palm Springs this yesterday and saw his billboards all the way down the 10 freeway. But it does. You know, when you get in radio, and I'm not an expert, to be fair, I'm not an expert in billboards and radio and what have you, but that's a longer term approach. And, you know, where I see folks, I think, make mistakes in that area is like, oh, I'm going to try a billboard for 6 months or a year or whatever. And where I think he's got it right, and others like him, is that you do it for a long term and you go in all, you know, go all in or do nothing, you know, type of thing, trying to be, you know, running radio ads for 3 months or 6 months or something like that. I can't imagine that that's successful. Right.
Right.
But that name recognition, right? Like the Larry H. Parker, you know, I've been here in Southern California and I've heard that commercial since I was, you know, in underoos eating Cheerios, you know, in the morning watching cartoons, you know, that same right. commercial, the 3.1 million guy who they've been running off that. And that's a reflection or you know, someone who's done it for a long period of time. There's those jingles and those things that after you do it for a long period of time, it just kind of gets ingrained in you. I mean, my kids sing some jingles here.
that's a different strategy. That strategy is you go in for the long term. You don't necessarily count on someone calling you right away. You're strategizing that in case something happens down the line to this person, they've known your name so much that they'll instantly remember you and call you. Long-term strategy.
Yeah, where that strategy blends in with what we do on the internet is, listen, if someone like that who has name recognition or brand awareness, brand recognition, excuse me, when they do go to Google, right, they may not remember off the top of their head, but when they do a Google, where it blends is when somebody has that name recognition and they run into someone like us and then we supplement what they're doing online, when someone does an online search, Los Angeles personal injury attorney, and they see that brand, we're going to have much more success helping them get more clients online than someone who doesn't have that brand recognition, right? If you're a consumer and you're jumping online and there's that brand, there's the, you know, that logo that you're familiar with, you're more apt to call that lawyer than somebody who you've never heard of before. No question.
Makes sense. Now, we talked about different strategies and different platforms. Let's talk about social media. How important do you think social media is when it comes to blending it into the rest of the advertising?
Yeah, I think there's steps to that. And not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I think step one, what I tell attorneys all the time is, you know, social media is kind of what websites were 15 years ago, right? If you didn't have a website, people thought you worked out of your underwear in your garage, right? Maybe here post-COVID, that's acceptable these days. I don't know. But same with social media, right? When they go and they see that you don't have a social media page or you don't Facebook, Instagram, whatever, or you have one and it hasn't been posted on for months and months and months, they think your doors aren't open. So having social media, step one is to have something there. And then once when you're posting or you're doing ads, staying top of mind, right? Especially with, you know, most attorneys, you know, they get most of their business, or they'll tell me, hey, I get most of my best business from referrals. So, you know, what I tell them is their circle, however big or small that is, you need to stay top of mind and remind folks what you do, right? Arash, there's the reason why you've told all your friends and family that you do criminal defense work, right? But they still call you, you know, you still get the random call. If you're like most of the attorneys I've talked to over the years, you know, friends and family call you and they get in a car accident or need a divorce or need a will and trust or whatever. And you're like, hey, I told you a million times that I do criminal defense work, but the average person doesn't realize how specialized an attorney is. And that's why I try to remind attorneys all the time. You know, we get locked in to this business so much that we forget what it was like. You know, my biggest weakness when I got into this business, this funny story, my biggest weakness was I had no law background. I knew nothing about legal. So I got my teeth kicked in, as you can imagine, the first 6 months, you know, where I was, calling types of cases the wrong thing and got kicked out of offices because I was calling hourly, you know, wage and hour cases, hourly wage cases, and some attorney kicked me out. And here we are, fast forward 15 years later. And I like to believe one of my biggest strengths is I still remember what the layperson thinks like, right? Because that's what my clients come to me, our clients come to us and go, hey, I want these types of folks to come to me, you know, walk in the door. How do I do that? And if we're not thinking like the layperson, then it makes it that much more difficult. So making sure that folks understand that, most folks don't understand how specialized you guys are, and make sure we're putting that out there, and when they come to someone's website, they know within seconds what kind of law you practice.
Now, talking about social media, do you guys help with social media as well in your company?
We do. Yep. Okay. We do postings and ads and all that.
And then, you know, being a lawyer, having a practice is time consuming, and having to do social media at the same time could be time consuming as well. And a lot of lawyers go, well, I don't have the time to create the content. Do you guys help with creating content as well?
We do. We how we're set up is, and it could be very varying degrees of this, but you know, we're set up to where to the point where if a lawyer goes, hey, make my phone ring here, you guys, I don't want to know anything about this stuff. You guys do it all. We can handle that particular client. There's other clients who want to be very, very involved, and that's perfectly acceptable, and we encourage that, and anywhere in between. So yeah, we handle all of it, because as a business owner, you got to figure out. What I tell people is, don't hire us to do anything that you can do. At some point, the goal is to make you busy enough to where it doesn't make sense for you to be writing your own content or doing your own posts or what have you, and you want to outsource that. And all of us as business owners, we, you know, as we grow, we outsource more and more things, right? When we first started our company, I did all our own social media posts. Now I have zero time to do that. And we have a whole staff, you know, team of folks that handle all that for us.
Now, let me ask you one question. What makes your company different than another company who does the same thing as you? Why would I hire Rise Up Media as opposed to Joe's Lawyer Advertising?
Well, I think what we like to think is that we give our clients the white glove service that they deserve, and that we roll up our sleeves and get involved in helping them grow their practice. I mean, that goes from all the stuff that I mentioned that we do, building websites and SEO and PPC, doing all that, but we're also helping them make sure they're answering the phone correctly, make sure they're converting. Because listen, I don't care how much money someone spends with us, if they're not converting these as we're helping them, as we're bringing them in the door, then our relationship isn't going to be very long. So even though it's outside of our job description, technically, we roll up our sleeves and we consider ourselves a partner of theirs, or, you know, that we work for them to help them figure out the blind spots that they may not even know that are there, right? Most times they haven't even thought of that. Hey, I should probably add chat to my website because I'm going to convert, you know, all these different things that aren't things that we do, but we point them in the right direction to make sure that they're successful. And everything we do is month to month. Everyone, you know, we're not one of these companies that, you know, lock people into 1, 2, 3 year contracts and haul off and do nothing and you're stuck. When we put this together, we go, listen, if we're that confident in what we do, then we'll do month to month contracts, and knock on wood, it's worked. Our retention rate is above 85%, and we like to think that that's pretty darn good.
That's awesome. Now, Travis, if someone wants to reach out and hire you, how would they find you? How do they contact you?
They can go to our website, riseupmedia.com. Rise is spelled with a Z. Riseupmedia.com, or my email address is travis@riseupmedia.com. Feel free to reach out directly to me, and we'd love to help, or even answer any questions that someone has. We want to be a resource. We're here for the long haul, so you know, we think paying it forward and giving people good advice, you know, when that time does come where they need to hire an agency, we'll be hopefully top of mind.
That's awesome. We'll be sure to include the link in your email in the description on YouTube. And also the audio version of the podcast, we'll make sure we put it on there too. Travis, it's been a pleasure learning about you, your business, and marketing. I'm sort of selfish when I do these things. I have guests on that I want to learn about. So I'm really interested in marketing. I wanted to have you on and learn about that. Anything else you want to add before we sign off, Travis?
No, I appreciate you having me. It was a blast.
Awesome. It was a pleasure having you. I really enjoyed it, and hopefully we have you on again.
Awesome. Look forward to it.